You'll be up here in Bangor again in August on the United We Rock Tour with Styx and REO Speedwagon. Now, what's the best thing about traveling around with those guys?
It's a group of really good, fun-loving, good guys. We take days off together and go play golf together. We rent a bowling alley for a night, and everybody, the bands, the crews, the truck drivers, the bus drivers, everybody goes out and we have a bowling competition. Or another week or two down the line, we'll rent an entire restaurant and have a big dinner. It's just everybody really enjoys each other, both on stage and off stage. And a lot of great people. No drama, no attitudes, no hissy fits, just really good, fun people. And the shows are just amazing. I mean, so 3.5 hours of just hit after hit after hit after hit after hit from the catalogs of all three of these acts. And so we have fun. We kind of have some surprises in store for people playing with different people in different parts of the show. So it's always fun to do that, and then off stage have such a lovely time together with a bunch of people that you enjoy.
Now, you mentioned golf, and I know you love golf. What else do you do to take care of yourself? Because it is a grind being out there on the road, but I got to say, you've kept yourself in fantastic shape through the years.
Well, you know, I don't eat very much, to tell you the truth. I never have. I've always been, back in the 70s, I was vegetarian for like 12 years or something. So I really watch what I eat. I try to get exercise every day in one form or another, whether it's at a hotel gym, riding a bike around the arena that we're playing in, just some form to get exercise. I used to do a lot of running and jogging until I had my second knee surgery from snow skiing. I just try to stay active. As a matter of fact, I've been looking at this year, the amount of work I'm doing, trying to figure out when I can have a vacation. It doesn't look like it's going to happen until maybe November or maybe December, where I can actually take a week or 10 days and go find a nice, white, sugar, sandy beach with some warm water and a chair with my feet in the water and a dumb little drink with an umbrella in it. Just turn off the cell phones, turn off everything, and just actually relax. So that hopefully will fit into this year's end-of-the-year program. But until then, it's a full action-packed day pretty much every day for me.
Now, this past December, the 40th anniversary of Hotel California, when you were working on that melody, how early in that process did you know you were onto something pretty special?
I never knew. Honest to God, I don't think an artist really knows what the audience reaction or world reaction is going to be to a record until you put it out. As a matter of fact, even though we had to record Hotel California 3 different times to get it right, when we were finally done with it, we had a playback party for the record company. After Hotel California played, Don Henley turned around and said, "That's going to be our single." And I went, "Don, I don't think that's the right song to come out of the shoot with." You know, it's AM radio, which we were really working towards building our brand in AM radio. It had to be 3 minutes and 30 seconds. It had to be a dance track, a rock track, or a drippy ballad. The intro had to be no longer than 30 seconds, so the disc jockey didn't have to talk for a long time before the vocalist sang. Hotel California is like 6.5 minutes long. It's a 1-minute intro before Don starts singing. It's got a 2-minute guitar solo on the end. It stops in the middle. The drum stops. There's a breakdown in the middle. Can't really dance to it like a rock track or anything. So I thought it was just the wrong format for AM radio. I thought in those days it was a great FM radio track, but not really AM radio. And I'm really glad to say I've never been happier to have been so wrong in my life.
In your book, as well as in the Eagles documentary, the subject of you singing came up a lot, and especially with Victim of Love, which you had written and wanted to do the vocal on. The guys in the band said, "No, we want Don Henley to do it." Now, out on the road in these tours, as the last time you were here, you were singing. You sounded great, by the way. How much fun is it for you to be able to get out there and not just play the guitar, but to sing?
I love it. It's, you know, I've done that since I was 10 years old, before the Eagles, during the Eagles. When I joined the Eagles, they had already established their kind of lead vocal sound between Don Henley, Glenn Fry. Randy had done Take It to the Limit or very shortly after that. And, you know, it was pretty much established. So I was delegated primarily guitar parts, musical stuff. I wound up playing pedal steel, banjo, acoustic guitar, mandolin, electric guitar, even keyboards, Hammond B3, and piano on some songs, and singing mostly background because the lead vocalist had already been established with the brand the Eagles. And yet I had been told when I joined the band that everyone would be allowed to sing at least one song, if not two, on each record. That was the existing premise before. But when, you know, Don started singing a lot of the hits and Glenn had sung a lot of the hits, that it only made sense at that time for them to want Don to sing the song. And so I thought it was a great guitar track. I'd written the whole music. I'd written a melody for it. And Don and I had sat down and written the lyrics. And when he sang it, there's nobody. Once Don Henley sings something and records it, nobody's going to touch that. I don't care who they are. It's just, he's got a magical voice. So it actually worked out for the best at that time for him to sing it on the record. I was very disappointed and saddened by it, but now I can sing it in every show, and I do. I sing it nearly every show I do.
We're talking with Don Felder here on Downtown. He'll be at the Waterfront along with Styx and REO Speedwagon on August 20th with the United We Rock Tour. Don, you tried, as did all kinds of fans through petitions, to get Randy Meisner, Bernie Ledden, and yourself to be involved in the Kennedy Center Honors when the band was honored last year. And I guess I kind of thought, as a fan, after the passing of Glenn, that maybe there would be an effort to reunite everybody. What is it? Why is there still that bitterness, at least on the other side, keeping you guys from being there to celebrate?
You know, I've been asking myself that since 2001. I don't know. I just feel, you know, when I went through the process of writing my book, Heaven and Hell, My Life in the Eagles, and finally published it in 2008, I really released a lot of that animosity and just baggage that I was carrying towards everyone, and had started reaching out to those guys in a very friendly, loving hug and pat on the back kind of way to just bury the hatchet, not for any needs that I want to be back of the band or anything, but just to let it go. You know, I think it's unhealthy. The only person you really hurt when you're carrying hatred is yourself. And so for me, I wanted to get rid of that, and I thought it would just be healthy for everyone to let go of that. And so I reached out through back channels, through lawyers, through friends, everybody that I knew, and really the only response I ever got was from their lawyers. After Glenn's sudden passing, which was really just a shock to me, I thought, well, maybe it's really time to reassess for everyone, you know, how far from permanent we are, and maybe that would be a good time to reach out again and shake hands, hug each other, and, you know, just let all that go. Well, I got no response back from that either. So I don't know. I have no idea, but it certainly seems like it's been cemented in place on the other side of the field. And for whatever reason, I've chosen to just let go of all that and move forward. And I have so much fun playing live and writing my own music. I'm in the middle of writing a new CD right now. Got 7 tracks finished with a lot of fun people guesting on it. Amazing rock musicians, guitar players, singers, everybody that's helping on this record. It's really a lot of fun, as opposed to some of the difficulties we had making Eagles records. So I'm just having a great time, and I would love to be able to, you know, do the same thing with Don and Irving, which I think is where most of the animosity is. But unfortunately, until they decide that it's time to do that, then nothing will change.
Don, the last time we chatted with you, we talked a lot about your upbringing, your roots in Florida, and some of the really talented people you knew as a young guy, from Stephen Stills to Tom Petty, and I know the people you were close to included the Allman Brothers. So can you talk a little bit about the passing of Greg Allman, what you'll remember most about him, and what he meant to popular music?
Well, Greg and Dwayne were by far the two greatest musicians in the whole North Central Florida area. We were in Battles of the Bands together, and I really have the distinct honor of saying I've lost at least 5 Battles of the Bands those guys. And it didn't matter the name of the band, whether they were the Allman Joys or the Spotlights or the Allman Brothers. They were just far and above everyone in that area. And, you know, Dwayne taught me slide guitar. we used to hang out together during the summers over at Daytona Beach at their mom's house. And just, you know, they were just astounding musicians and yet very cool people off stage. They had no ego, no, you know, shoulder when they walked around, nothing to prove. They proved it and laid it all out on the stage and left it there. And if you saw them or heard them, you were just completely overwhelmed, no matter who you were, at their brilliance. And I was really sad. I saw Greg a couple of years ago, and I was sadly disappointed to see him in such decline physically, and had a short chat. And, things were, you know, he was being as optimistic as he could be about his condition at the time, but I was just sadly disappointed to see him in decline.
Well, I'm excited to hear you've got another new album that you're working on. Your last solo album was absolutely terrific. You're making some of the best music of your career right now. What's the best part of continuing to make music after all these years in the business?
Well, you know, I started at 10 years old just becoming obsessed with music, learning to play, writing songs, being in bands, starving on the streets of New York City, where I tried to scrape together 60 cents to be able to go get a plate of rice with beans on it so I'd have something in my belly, and went through everything, including from the, you know, the lowest parts of the career to the highest parts of success and financial and admiration and, you know, accolades and all that stuff. But the real thing that has been the important, most just intriguing thing to me is writing and playing and recording and playing live music. That's what it's been about for me since I was 10 years old. Every time I go in my studio, which I'm going in again today at 11 o'clock, I get excited. I get ideas coming through me. I get concepts and have the ability and opportunity to really express all that as an artist. Now, you know, I might record 25 songs and only 10 or 12 of them wind up on a CD, but I love that ability to go in and express myself musically. And then especially when you put out something, like I think in 2014 when I was touring with Foreigner, Aria, or Foreigner Styx and myself, I had a track on the radio called You Don't Have Me, which was on my last CD. And it wound up being number one on the classic rock radio charts for 12 weeks. And for me, that was just such a, I don't know, it was just a warm acceptance by radio and rock radio fans, people that listen to rock radio, that it was just a little bit of, you know, appreciation, self-appreciation that was given to me from a lot of the fans that when I saw those charts.
Well, I enjoyed your live show so much. When you were here a couple of years ago, it was great getting backstage and chatting with you. You're a talented guy and a class act, Don. We really appreciate you, as always, making time with us today.
Well, I look forward to seeing you the next time I'm there in Bangor on August 20th. And please come backstage and say hello. Let me shake your hand and tell you how much I appreciate you taking the time to do this for me.
I will do that. Don, thank you again. We wish you continued good luck and good health, and we'll see you in a couple of months.
All right. Thanks, Rich. See you soon, buddy.